Welcome to a new deep dive from AI Unraveled. This is the show created and produced by Etienne Newman. He's a senior engineer and a passionate soccer dad up in Canada. If you're finding these insights valuable, please do take a moment to like and subscribe, maybe over on Apple Podcasts. It really helps. Okay, so today we are diving into, well, just a flurry of recent developments in the world of AI. It's been busy.
Absolutely. It feels like every day there's something new and significant.
Totally. We're going to look at everything from, you know, groundbreaking acquisitions and new AI models right through to how AI is weaving itself into everyday stuff like online shopping and web search.
Yeah. We basically pulled together a snapshot of the latest news, all dated May 22nd, 2025. The idea is to give you a concise but hopefully pretty comprehensive look at what's happening right at the cutting edge.
Exactly. Our mission, as always, is to kind of pull out the most important bits and, well, connect the dots for you. Now, before we really jump in, if you're looking to maybe deepen your own AI knowledge, or perhaps even get certified, you should definitely check out Etienne's 4 AI certification study guides. There's the Azure AI Engineer Associate Study Guide, the Google Cloud Generative AI Leader Certification, and the AWS Certified AI Practitioner Exam Study Guide.
Very comprehensive.
They are. You can find them all over at djamgaves.com. We'll put the full links in the show notes, of course.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into it. The first thing that really jumped out at me was this huge OpenAI move.
Oh, yeah, the I.O. acquisition is massive. OpenAI acquiring Joni Ive's AI hardware startup.
Yeah.
What is it, $6.5 billion in OpenAI equity, too?
$0.5 billion.
Yeah.
Considering Joni Ive, you know, the former chief design officer at Apple.
Right.
That tells you something. Plus, his design firm, Lovefrom, is involved.
It really does. It signals they're thinking way beyond just software now. The stated goal is developing a whole new family of AI-native consumer devices.
Right? Redefining human-AI interaction.
Mm.
Something totally different from what we have now. They're even speculating the first products might launch in 2026.
Which is pretty soon, relatively speaking. It's interesting, about 55 I.O. staff are joining OpenAI, but Lovefrom stays independent.
Yeah, acting as a customer and stakeholder. And crucially, Ive and Lovefrom get creative control over the future look and feel of OpenAI's products.
That's huge. It puts design right at the forefront. It's OpenAI expanding into AI-optimized hardware, but with a massive focus on user experience, on that innovative design I is known for.
So it's not just about the AI engine. It's about the physical thing you hold, how you interact with it. Very interesting direction.
Definitely. It raises questions about what these devices might even be.
Okay, so speaking of AI getting integrated, look at Amazon. They're testing something new in their mobile app in the U.S.
The AI audio summaries. Yeah, I saw that. A hear the highlights button.
Exactly. AI-generated shopping experts, they're calling them. Give you short audio clips.
And these clips apparently summarize key features, look at customer reviews, web info, all in a conversational way.
It's like getting a quick briefing on a product without having to read everything. They're using large language models, obviously, to generate the scripts.
Right now, it's a limited rollout. They're testing the waters. But the goal seems clear. Enhance that e-commerce experience.
Make it more accessible, maybe more engaging. Could definitely influence buying decisions, I imagine. Listen while you're doing something else.
It fits that trend of making information easier to consume, especially audio for when you're on the go or multitasking. Adapting to how people actually live and shop.
Now, sticking with big tech integrating AI, Google, this was inevitable, I suppose.
Wait.
Ads are coming to their AI search features.
Yep. Into AI overviews, which are now on desktop in the US, and also that new AI mode search.
They're saying the ads will be clearly labeled sponsored and should be contextually relevant.
That's the key, isn't it? Relevance, because this is how they monetize. It's critical for their revenue model as search evolves.
They mentioned advertisers using Performance Max shopping and search campaigns with broad match. Those are the ones eligible for AI mode ads in the US right now.
Mm-hmm. And they're expanding the search and shopping ads in AI overviews on desktop following the mobile tests.
It's a big step.
Mm-hmm.
Balancing user experience with the need to, well, pay the bills. How will they manage that relevance and labeling will be crucial.
Absolutely. User trust is paramount here. If it feels spammy or intrusive, people might just switch off those features.
Okay, let's shift over to the AI development side. Mistral AI. They've just dropped something called DevStral.
Right, the new open source coding model. 24 billion parameters released under the Apache 2.0 license. That license is important. Very permissive.
Yeah, allows commercial use. They're saying it's good for exploring code bases, editing files, even powering AI coding agents.
And they're making some bold claims, suggesting it outperforms other top open coding models on benchmarks like SWBench Verified.
What caught my eye is the optimization for local deployment. Running on high-end consumer hardware, like an NVIDIA RTX 4090 or a Mac with 32 gigs of RAM.
That's a big deal. Making powerful AI coding tools accessible without needing constant cloud access or paying API fees. Open source and runnable locally.
Plus, they hinted they're releasing an even larger agentic coding model soon. Seems like they're really pushing to give developers powerful open tools.
It contributes to that democratization trend in AI development. More power in the hands of individual devs and smaller teams could really spur innovation.
Another, maybe smaller but practical trend, AI tools getting better at exporting stuff.
Ah, like exporting research reports as PDFs.
Exactly. OpenAI's ChatGPT Deep Research tool, the one for Plus, Team, and Pro users, now lets you export directly to PDFs. And it keeps the structure. Links citations, makes it look professional.
That bridges a really important gap, doesn't it, between the AI generating insights and putting it into a standard format people actually use for sharing serious information.
Totally. It just smooths out the workflow, takes AI output and makes it immediately usable in reports, papers, whatever. Makes AI feel more integrated into professional tasks.
Yeah, it's about increasing the practical utility. Less copying and pasting, more direct output into usable formats.
Okay, let's talk e-commerce again, but from the merchant side. Shopify's rolled out new AI tools.
The AI store builder sounds pretty wild.
Yeah, put in keywords, and it generates three initial storefront designs with images and text. That lowers the barrier to entry significantly.
And they also have an AI element generator for making custom website bits without coding.
Yeah. It really feels like they're trying to make it super easy for anyone to start an online store. Plus, they upgraded Sidekick, their AI assistant.
That's new with Sidekick.
Voice chat, screen sharing, apparently better reasoning for business advice.
Mm-hmm.
It can even do stuff for you, like create discount codes.
Wow. So it's becoming more of an active partner. Shopify is really embedding AI deep into their platform.
Seems like it. Helping new entrepreneurs get started and giving existing ones more powerful tools for managing their stores. Leveling the playing field a bit, maybe?
Could be. It's definitely making sophisticated capabilities more accessible to small businesses.
Anthropic also had a big launch. Claude 4 models.
Claude Opus 4 and Claude Sonnet 4 dropped on May 22nd as well.
Opus 4 is positioned as their top model. They're citing industry-leading performance in complex coding, reasoning, that sort of thing. Agentic search, creative writing, too.
And Sonnet 4 is framed as the balance, good speed, and performance for more everyday enterprise tasks.
They mentioned an extended thinking mode, too, with tool use, better memory, following instructions better.
That points towards more capable, maybe more autonomous AI agents. It's the direction things are heading. And making them available via API and on platforms like AWS Bedrock and Google's Vertex AI is key for adoption.
Definitely strengthens their position against, you know, OpenAI and Google. They're pushing hard on performance and capability, trying to make AI a more powerful collaborator.
It's an arms race, but one focused on intelligence and utility right now.
Okay, now for something a bit different. Humanoid robots in China. Doing martial arts.
Yeah, some videos and demonstrations showing them with, let's say, combat-like skills, boxing martial arts moves.
And they're actually planning robot fighting competitions, like a boxing contest in Hangzhou and something called Engine AI Robot-Free Combat in Shenzhen.
Some will be teleoperated, so humans controlling them remotely, but others are aiming for more autonomy.
It sounds like sci-fi, but I guess it drives progress, right? In agility, balance AI decision-making for physical actions.
Exactly. While it might look like entertainment, the underlying tech challenges are serious, pushing robotics and AI interaction forward. It fits with China's big ambitions in AI and robotics.
Still, robot boxing. It's quite a visual. What are the wider implications, do you think, beyond the competitions?
Well, the core technologies, agility, dynamic balancing, real-time response, those are valuable for lots of things. Advanced manufacturing, maybe search and rescue. The practical applications could be significant down the line.
All right, shifting back to the human side of AI, what about CEOs? Are they using AI to replace themselves? Seems not.
Mostly not, no. The trend seems to be augmentation, using AI to help them do their jobs better.
Like Sam Altman, Jensen Huang. Reports say they use AI for processing email, summarizing documents, drafting things, brainstorming.
Exactly. It's an executive partner or co-pilot, handles the information overload, the routine stuff, but the strategic vision, the leadership, the accountability that stays human.
Makes sense. Those core leadership roles involve so much nuance, human interaction, things AI isn't really suited for right now.
So it's AI enhancing efficiency, freeing up human leaders to focus on the high-level, uniquely human aspects of the job. Less about replacement, more about collaboration.
And finally, a pretty important legal development. A judge ruled on AI chatbots and free speech.
Ah, the Character.ai case, the wrongful death lawsuit.
Yeah. The judge rejected Character Technologies' argument that their AI chatbots have First Amendment protection.
That's significant. The judge made a distinction, right, between the free speech rights of the user receiving the output and the output of the AI itself.
Exactly. The judge basically said the AI's output isn't protected speech in the same way a person's is. This allows the lawsuit to move forward.
It's a major test case for the legal status of AI. Reinforces the idea that companies are generally responsible for what their AI produces, especially if it causes harm.
It underlines that whole accountability question.
Yeah.
Who's responsible when AI says or does something problematic? This ruling points towards the developers.
Yeah, it suggests the law is currently leaning towards treating AI as a tool, with the creators or deployers holding responsibility, not granting the AI itself rights like free speech.
And just to round things out, a few other quick hits from the news.
Go for it. There is a lot happening.
ByteDance released Bagel, an open source multimodal model. xAI launched a live search API for Grok for real-time data. OpenAI expanded its responses API for agentic apps.
Oh, and Sergey Brin at Google I.O. saying they intend Gemini to be the first AGI before 2030.
That was a big statement. Plus, OpenAI's huge $11.6 billion funding for that data center in Texas, a part of the Stargate project, apparently.
Massive infrastructure investment. And Elmarina, the AI benchmarking platform, got $100 million in seed funding, planning a relaunch.
So, yeah. Just a constant stream of activity across the board.
It really paints a picture, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Hardware, search, open source models, e-commerce integration, legal questions. The pace is just relentless.
Absolutely. So to kind of wrap up, from those big hardware plays and search evolving to AI becoming more democratic through open source and weaving into how we shop, it's clear innovation isn't slowing down.
And those legal and ethical pieces are definitely coming into sharper focus as AI gets more powerful and widespread.
We really hope this deep dive gave you a clear picture of some key AI happenings this week. Hopefully some valuable insights without, you know, drowning you in information. And just a reminder, if you do want to go deeper and maybe prep for certifications, check out Etienne Newman's guides. Azure AI Engineer Associate, Google Cloud Generative AI Leader, and AWS Certified AI Practitioner. They're all at djamgatetech.com. Links in the show notes.
Definitely worth a look if you're serious about scaling up.
So as we see AI seep into more parts of our lives, the devices we might use, how we shop, even setting legal precedents, here's something to think about. What do you see as the most exciting possibility on the horizon? And maybe, what's the biggest challenge we need to tackle? Lots to consider. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive on AI Unraveled.